2 weeks ago, Marty told me to stretch this out. I had a lot of time, and so I just, this is my 35-minute version. Now, 2 minutes ago, he tells me I got 10, so this is going to be interesting. This is the first great study INDOT has done. This actually started out as going to be our 5-year grant, is what the initial design is to be, and then I come in and sort of change that. The rail plan's included in with it, but, so initially we started out by profiling the conditions and terms of both demand and infrastructure for the state. Been mentioned several times here in the last 2 days by 3 or 4 of the states. You've got to understand your commodity flows. Doesn't do any good to have a freight plan if you don't understand your commodity flows. The people don't realize all those trucks running around out there, not running around out there because it's fun. They're making money hauling stuff, lots of stuff. So we identify the supply and demand commodity flows, our policy issues, and then it leads us into identification of our gas needs. It's a very methodical process. Some key issues, we did a lot of stakeholder interviews around the state, and I think version of all of these would apply to all the states here. I don't think you'd have to study independently to find out a whole lot of things different. Whether it's truck parking problems, whether it's rail connectivity to the West Coast that can bypass Chicago, on down the line, a lot of different key issues identified. Obviously, you've seen this chart before dealing with the volumes of freight movement projected to double. We're not just spending time with this, you guys know that. Freight tonnages, again, you've got to know what's flowing into your state, out of your state, just within your state, and through your state that doesn't start, that doesn't stop or start. 4 different iterations of commodity flows. And you can clearly see, Indiana's very heavily in truck because a lot of the rail doesn't stop in Indiana. And inbound, that's outbound. Very similar picture. You got to break it down to county level to understand the detail within your state. That's too much detail for a region like the Midwest, but for a state, you've got to be able to do that. You've got to know where your where it is today and where it's projected to be by volumes. And the inbound, pretty much the same picture. And a little faster. This is our rail network in the state, and I've got a huge blow up of this on my wall. And every time I look at it, I'm reminded of the song "All Roads Lead to You," which is ironically played by the group Chicago. and that's what it is. Indiana is a rail passenger state in Chicago. And so for our shippers and receivers, drayage comes down I-65 from Chicago. Very heavy truck lane because of drayage. And that's one of the things we hope to change because, obviously when you dray something and it's not unlike draying something in Chicago to the Twin Cities, draying it over to Toledo or wherever else, that's $600-$800 of drainage cost the shipper has to pay, and that cost pushes them out of being competitive in the national and global markets. It eliminates options for them. Rail service, you guys have seen this before. We're holding our own on rail service around the country right now, but it's projected to be go to red. Indiana rail carloads, once again, you can see because of Chicago being a rail hub, the predominant amount of rail freight is passing through. And that's where it's terminating on the Class 1 railroads, and then a lot of it gets shipped by truck. Okay. I did the 35-minute version. I will elaborate on a whole lot more. You have to look at your trading partners by state. It's skewed again. This data is taken from the rail windmill sample, and it's accurate, but it's 100% wrong. It's accurate, but it's wrong. Illinois is not our largest rail trading partner. That's just because the windmills show Illinois as the origin or destination on the Class I railroad's terminus. So you have to read deeper in the tea leaves and understand where your rail freight is really coming from and where it's going. We've got other data that supersedes this. You know, you look at Montana and Wyoming, that's heavy, that's coal out of the Powder River Basin area, or West Virginia, Pennsylvania, once again, that's Appalachian coal. You start drilling down into your commodities and understanding what's coming in and out of your state. So that's inbound. Outbound's pretty much the same picture. Illinois is having a skew. But you see a lot of southeast states that Indiana trades with, and a lot of that is agricultural product going down to the southeast. That's grain.
Can you say a bit about how you got some back of the numbers for windmill data? Because you're right, your track was in your grain partner, but you know, the coming to the west coast, you're going to southwest or where it's going to.
We did an additional study dealing with the major shippers, and we're able to get data from them that shows exactly where those shipments were going, just in rough metro markets. We didn't have to drill down any deeper than that, but you know, shipping by rail, Fort Wayne, and you know that it's going, you know, the shipper tells you that you've got X number of quantities that may be going you know, to Denver and other places like that, then you can just, you know, paint a new picture. You can match up the volumes to see that the destinations are more expanded. So. Once again, inbound and outbound flows, you've got to drill down to your county markets. We've already discussed that. You know, Indiana's heavily manufacturing like all the states. Here, a lot of coal. That's why you see down in the southwest part of Indiana, which will be much like western Kentucky, much like southern Illinois, a lot of outbound coal shows. Then we look at our air cargo in the state and as well as the surrounding regions. I didn't want to isolate this just the state boundaries, but Indianapolis is the Indianapolis Airport is the seventh largest air cargo facility in the country. Chicago is number 8, and I think Louisville is number 2. And so you've got very high amounts of air cargo, but in the big scheme of things, it's not a lot of tonnage because air cargo is smaller, but it's high value and it's timely. And so your road networks have to connect very well with that. So that's why it's important that we look at Chicago O'Hare and Louisville, because we are the roadway link in multiple directions coming out of those, as well as our Indianapolis Airport. And probably not unlike a lot of states, we've got an abundance of air cargo capacity. We have got another 10 airports in the state that have anywhere from 1 mile to almost 2 mile runways with some big distribution centers around them. We could go tenfold our air cargo if the industries wanted to expand the air cargo to include international air. We got tons of infrastructure for air cargo. Just overwhelming. But once again, the markets don't want to use it just yet. We're hoping they will. Rain cargo in Indiana. Within Indiana, we have the ports of Indiana that have a, we've got a facility in Burns Harbor here. We've got Mount Vernon, southwest of Louisville, and Jeffersonville right across from Louisville. But the three state-owned, these are very robust ports. Burns Harbor handles probably between 15 and 20% of all steel shipments to Europe come in and out of there. So it's very high volume, very robust. And, our road networks and rail networks in and out of those ports, as well as the map doesn't do this good. There's probably easily 12 to 15 private ports here and 20 to 25 along here. So the road network is very they're the key to making this function. Once again, shifting back to commodities, Indiana's manufacturing industry, you can see that 18% of our jobs are directly linked to manufacturing, not unlike all of your states, whereas nationally it's about half that. The manufacturing is extremely important, and our gross state product is linked very heavily with manufacturing. And it would go up to 35-38% if you add in the logistics industry for the state. Agriculture and industry, you can look here quickly to see that about 6 or 7 of the top 10 states in the country are here in the Midwest. That's what it tells us. It's very important here for Indiana as well as the rest of the states. Energy, Indiana's second highest coal user in the country, right behind Texas. But then again, this is Ohio and Illinois are right there with us. So coal coming in and out of the state. And, going back to commodities flows, the freight setting. Indiana is an importer of coal, yet we have a huge amount of coal reserves. Ours is being high sulfur content, and the EPA regulations are getting stricter, and coal generation stations have to have scrubbers installed. That makes the high sulfur coal, the Illinois Basin coal, a lot more attractive to use. So we're going to our predictions are we're going to see a lot more coal mining is going to increase in southwest Indiana. It's going to increase in Kentucky. It's going to increase in Illinois as well.
Why is Indiana the number 2 coal user?
It's easy. It's always been easy. But coupled with that, and if you work with your state commerce departments, IEDCs, that also helps us tremendously. We have one of the lowest energy costs in the country. So as corporations look to decide where they want to build manufacturing, whatever, they look at the tax structure, they look at the transportation infrastructure, they also look at the energy cost. It's very cheap. Our energy costs, in many cases, are only half as much as what you find in other states.
Did your state look at what the impact of debt and great debt and regulations would be if you're dependent on coal for your energy production?
We're looking at it. I don't know where we're at with all that. I'm sure it's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us.
So who do you export your coal to?
These industries, the major coal mines, are looking to export now to power plants within the region. That have scrubbers or will or targeted to have scrubbers installed. Louisville, Gas and Electric is one of those potential, Cincinnati, all of those up and down the Ohio River that we can get coal to relatively cheaply are those type of candidates. And we can go beyond it, we can talk a whole lot about that technology, but we have scrubbers. That scrubber technology requires crushed limestone as the catalyst for removing all that crud out of the high sulfur content coal. Well, Indiana has tons of limestone too. We've got this and we've got this too. We're a one-stop shop. So we've got all that stuff, and if you know anything then about the crushed limestone, once it's done its scrubbing job and it's taken all the impurities out, that can be recycled in Walmart. So U.S. Gypsum, those type of guys are really good. In many places where we have our power generation stations on the same rail line, you'll find Walmart coming. They're taking advantage of that. So. These are some things we don't have totally solidified yet. Some action items that are still pending. We're hoping to get our freight study finished here in the next 30 to 60 days. And our freight study will be incorporated into the state's long-range plan because as we identify needed policy changes and things like that, we're also identifying gaps and needs in our transportation system. So those type of physical, as a result of this study, those things will go into the long-range plan. We've already engaged our NPOs dealing with freight planning, and a lot of the outcome of this will help the NPOs with developing a dirt freight thing. And, you know, as part of this whole process over the last year, this has helped me to engage in both actually develop a logistics council in the state, which is now pretty much run by the private sector. But that entire private sector, they've actually heard this briefing 6 times. So they, you know, they get it. I've done it in various parts of the state to make sure they're dialed in on what we're doing and what we need. Other things we're looking at, we do have P3 legislation in Indiana for roadway. We've actually we've got somewhat limited P3 legislation for rail. Many of the surrounding states do not, and that will affect us on some of our multi-state corridor development projects that we've got going. Just you just got it? That's why. Legislative mandate, the Iliad Expressway study, we will conclude that in the middle of June. Iliad Expressway was originally designed, and by the way, this is a concept that's been out there for 60 years. If you don't want to read about the history about this, but you know how big Chicago is. Our original plan was to start at, is this I-55?
Yeah.
I-55, come all the way around to I-57, I-65, and all the way up to I-94. Well, there's a lot of political opposition on this stretch, and a lot of political opposition on this stretch, so our governors agreed that we'll work on a 25-mile stretch in between. And that study will be completed by the middle of June, be presented to both state legislatures, and then we got to determine the way forward. At this point in time, it looks to be low risk for a P3 project. The little piece of 25 miles, we only have 4 interchanges, one at 57, one at 65. One at US 41 and one at Delano State Route 1. It's predominantly will be a 4-lane, primarily for freight movement. So, and hopefully we won't have to wait another 60 years to get something because this thing is sorely needed. Towards the future, you've all heard about this. We should be finished our contract with the consultant. Out of all the corridors in the future, we're the I-78 is the only one that has the development agreement done, the MOU done, the consultant selected, and within about 4 weeks from getting under contract and pushing on down the road to the feasibility study. None of the others are anywhere near that. I'm going to, for Arkansas Brethren, are the lead state for I-69, and I'm going to start working with them because we got a little dormant. Jerry and I had a discussion about that. It's like Princeton, Michigan. We had that discussion too. So, because the value of I-69, you know, it's only going to get its full value when it's completed from Oreo all the way up. And we are building our part, by the way, physically right now. We're starting, of course, I-69 exists in Port Huron down to Indianapolis, but we're pouring concrete today as we speak at Evansville and working our way north. It's about an 8-year plan, 160 miles carved out of the hills. And we're building it. It's a good news project. Additional legislative mandates that we're looking to, that's going to come out of our study, obviously corridor protection is needed. Illinois is a state that has that, and it works very well for them. We do not have it, but I think every state needs that. Truck size weight we talked about. We do not have a designated truck route system in Indiana. We have what we call a state mobility route, which is kind of generic, so I'm trying to push it. You know, Michigan has designated truck routes, and other states do well. And of course, there's other things there. Each of our states have something very similar to this, or at least they have means that are similar.
You guys have the term corridor protection, the myriad of meanings. What are you talking about?
We'll go back to the Iliad, for example. We're studying that, and people know that we're studying that. We'd like to be able to preserve certain, a quarter preservation, to lock that in and not allow any development on that until we're able to actually proceed with development. Obviously, you don't want to build up and start occurring and pull the rug out underneath the feet. That's all in your plan. To go through the development, go through the feasibility study, the environment impact, and all that stuff.
How is the delivery sound restriction?
I'm sorry?
How is the delivery sound restriction?
It's not been too much of a problem for us. It's, some of the major metro areas, it can be. And this is something that we're looking at, but it's not been too much of a problem in Indiana. We're not that congested. But it's something we're looking at. We just can't really talk too much about it. It's not because of the secret, because I don't know. Some other policy recommendations that we're dealing with, these are very generalized, but as you go through a freight study, you find a lot of things that you need or don't have that you like to have. Initial findings, and a lot of these did not surprise me. We've got a pretty robust, various industries that are pretty diverse across the state due to our heavy manufacturing agricultural area. And our strategic location, like we're staying here, we have a very good strategic and tactical location in consumer markets, so we have a lot of distribution centers. And our network is really good to handle that. That's a brag, but I think we've probably got one of the best roadway systems in the country, in Indiana. It's all spoked out, but we've got four major interstates being in Indianapolis. It's 465 and I-70 through there. It's all been totally redone. If you want to drive on new country, and get excited, just come on down for riding with Indianapolis. It's great. Our air freight and marine freight are pretty vibrant. We've got capacity to expand. It's in good shape. Where we really lack is east-west rail service. That's our Achilles heel right now because our shippers do not have good options to make us on bulk. A lot of heavy, retail type product, very mortal. Going east-west to the ports, and it works against us because they have to pay higher truck rates and drainage rates in out of Chicago. And that's one of the major problems that we have. And there's other choke points, obviously. We're working on some old Ohio River bridges at Louisville, actually two bridges there. We need a new bridge when we build I-69 from Evansville south in Kentucky, and everybody knows bridges are choke points, but they're very expensive.
Could you go back to that corridor preservation thing and your comment about low east-west rail line? Anybody consider while you're developing a highway project to develop a rail corridor next week?
Yeah.
And so I am very much interested. We're part of the I-70 corridor, and we so that we're going to be right to see rail as an alternative to the
and it'll be addressed in our feasibility study in some way, shape, or form. You'll see it now. Absolutely. And what this means for Indiana, there it is. A lot of good stuff and we're eating. Overall, we're positioned fairly well. We've got some problems, which everybody does. All of our road choke points, we currently are in development right now for construction, virtually every choke point we have in the screen. So we're in good shape there. Only thing, we build good stuff, it just creates other choke points, I think. It's just professional. So we'll finalize this in another month and it'll be incorporated in how we select projects. Freight being one of the major categories of project selection in the state in the long range plan. Any comments or questions, we can wait until afterwards, or how do you want to do this?
Why don't we do the other two stages then?
Okay. All right. So, Dave?
David, if you forward, I think it's like you're not ready to scratch.